God's good. Amen to everyone. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John. Brother Ted, I was thinking about as you were singing about Job and all that Job went through, all that he suffered. in a darkness that God allowed to come upon him. And yet, through it all, Job said this, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And I say to you this morning, those that are going through a very dark time, which is what, needless to say, I'll be preaching on in just a moment, our Redeemer liveth. Our Redeemer liveth. 1 John chapter 1, as I was thinking on, and I know why the devil's so upset, when I looked at all that we're facing today, the physical, the marital, the moral, the financial, the economic, the political darkness that we're in today all over the world, it can't help but let us know that we live in a dark world. There's darkness all around us, and I just want to give you some encouragement. It's going to get a lot darker. Well, John, that's encouragement. Yeah, because that's going to be closer to the return of Jesus Christ. He said it was going to happen as it was in the day of Noah, as it was in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're as close to that today as we'll ever get. And thus, it's only going to get darker from here. And so God put that upon my heart, realizing that all of us are going to be faced with and go through a darkness. I mean, we're all experiencing what's happening in the world today, right? I already said that's darkness, but there's also another darkness that God would have me to speak about today, and that's the one I'm going to focus on, and that's spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. When you found your place in 1 John chapter 1, stand with me as we do reverence to... I'm going to use just two verses for our text this morning, and then a whole lot of other verses. Amen? Can't have too much Word of God. If you will, look with me at verse 5 and verse 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do not the truth. Brother Cliff, will you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The reason I said that it affects everyone, the lost and the saved, is because the very definition of spiritual darkness is anything that separates from living with and for God. Anything, any sin, any obstacle that separates us from the very walk with God, we're walking in darkness. Amen. And so this morning, the first and most important concept in spiritual darkness is to reach the lost person. To reach the lost. The dead and the dying. For we were once dead in our trespasses and sin. All of us. We were born into a fallen world. Ever since Adam and Eve, and I preached a series on that just recently. Ever since then, we all are born in a fallen state. We are already condemned unless there's a new birth, unless we're reborn, unless we're led by the Holy Spirit of God, yielding to that leading, then there is a darkness that never goes away, just gets darker, as we'll see in Scripture in just a moment. I used to think, but Lord, that's rough for Christians to have to go through spiritual darkness and the need to go through spiritual darkness. And then the Lord gave me an illustration that personal. The illustration, sadly, that most I give to y'all are mine. You say, but why do we have to go through it? Well, when I was young, if my little sister was here today, she's not here. I wasn't as bad as her. But when I was young, my dad, especially my dad, my mother wasn't, immune to it, but my dad, when I was having one of those dark days that were self-inflicted, my dad would look at me and say, "Oh yeah, I'll give you something to think about." Oh, you heard that too, Brother Bobby? I got hands going up all over the church. Now watch this. If you're born again this morning, who is your father? Brother Randy and I, when he greets me, he says, "Amen, my brother, with the same father, but another mother." Our Heavenly Father, let me just say this kindly. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much, He will give us something to think about in order for us to be right in who He would have us to be. But this morning, I believe we first must look at the unbeliever. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Church, there is a reason that the unbeliever walks in darkness. Now, here's what it is. He not only walks in darkness by choice, but the reason he doesn't recognize the darkness around him and the fact that he's walking in darkness is for the fact that he can't see.
That's right.
He cannot see. He has been blinded by the evil one. Before you and I got saved, we walked in a blindness, a darkness that we couldn't understand until we met the Savior. Until we met Jesus, we walked in that same way. They cannot see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan does all that he can do to keep a lost man, woman, boy, or girl from being saved.
That's
right. Well, John, he has that ability to blind us? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. As I said, before we get saved, we're already walking in darkness. You don't even realize what he's doing. Oh, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when the light comes on, he can see if he chooses to, just as we did. Understand this, God will not force salvation on anyone, but praise his holy name, he avails it to everyone. Not willing that not one should perish. No, not one. Any should perish. But God does. And he never fails to do so. As I said, from the moment Adam and Eve sinned, all people are born into a fallen world and are going to experience the darknesses that are around us. But once we get born again, we don't have to. We don't have to walk in. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." The Apostle Paul describes those in the sinful state. He describes them as knowing that Christ is not in their lives. So therefore, they're possessed by darkness. They have no option. They have a closed mind and a hardened heart. So God told Paul, he said, here's what you need to do, Paul. In Ephesians 4:18, it says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And when he said the ignorance of them, didn't mean they were stupid. What it's saying is they just didn't know.
Yes.
Now, child of God, the reason that's important to us is we know. And they won't know unless we tell them.
Amen. That's right.
Paul, realizing exactly what God was explaining to him, knew that he had to do something. And he knew what it was that God expected of him to do. And you say, "Brother John, I know what you're fixing to say, and we know this." Then we need to apply this because it does not change. They must hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't get saved apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, it was because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is going to say here in Romans, first of all, let me just show you why there is that necessity. Why there is that urgency. I don't know how many of you read the book of Jude, but it doesn't take long. I won't say chapter 1, though it is, because that's the only chapter that's in the book. But God is very clear about the darkness. In verses 4, 7, 11, and 13, follow with me. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It does not and cannot get any darker. If darkness here, even for the child of God, is that temporary for the child of God, that temporary separation, then what is the lost man to do? He cannot. There is nothing for him to do except to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul was commissioned to do in Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to know I may not have ever gotten an inheritance down here, but I got one in glory that has no comparison to whatever and everything that's down here. That's exactly what the lost man is looking for, is hoping to get gain from Cain and yielding the Korah. Oh, expecting and demanding an inheritance. You don't do that with God. You receive an inheritance when you become a child of God. There he has been commissioned to go to the Gentile and to give them that which will open their eyes. And we find that in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that what Jesus just told him back in Acts? He said, listen, it doesn't mean that they're the Gentiles. Just because the Gentiles were shunned, hated, despised, the Samaritans even worse. Even through all of that, God is telling him, Paul, I want you to go to them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no difference now between the Greek and the Jew. Oh, listen, and when you're born again, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thus, what is the cause of darkness and blindness for the unbeliever? The fact that he is separated from Almighty God. What is the cure for the unbeliever? For the gospel to be shared with them, that they can see this light. Watch this. And be with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's being born again, church. And I assure you that that unbeliever who becomes a believer will one day thank you in the presence of Almighty God. What a joy and a privilege and a commission and a command that we have to go to the lost, the dying, and shine the light. Remember, isn't this what we learned? We are the candle of our Lord who is the light of the world. And when we take Him to them, oh, there's a glow that they're going to see and that they can choose. It'll be their choice. But it'll be not because they've never seen, but they received that light. That's the unbeliever. But now, and this is a part that he really doesn't want me to share with you, but we're going to as long as I have breath up here. And if something were to happen to me, Mitchell, you get up here and read the rest of my message. You hear me? And nurses, don't you dare come up here and try to resuscitate me. Stop me from getting home. The believer now. I said before, we all go through darkness. I know for a fact, just within the last 48 hours, that there are some precious souls that I need to get to because they're in dark hours. I'm looking around this morning because it's Pastor and I know you and I love you. Macedonia, I'm looking at some this morning that are going through some real darkness. Families in their lives. Are they born again? Yes, but it does not exclude us from darkness. May I say this, though? Did I not already? It's temporary if you're a child of God. It's temporary. The believer. Most of the time, yes, there are times, as I said with Job, that darkness is inflicted. But listen, the rest of the time, he doesn't inflict all darkness. We, as I said, we self-inflict it. What do you mean, Brother John? The Bible says that if we have aught with a brother, that we don't have fellowship with the Lord. He won't even hear us, Brother Bobby, when we try to talk to him. He said if there is unconfessed sin in our lives, listen, he won't even hear us. That's Psalm 66, let's see, Psalm 66, 15, I believe. 66, 8. But anyway, he won't even hear us. There is that broken fellowship of communion with him. But oh, listen, that darkness can be gone, removed with just this, guilty, Lord. Guilty. To confess that sin. To receive forgiveness of that sin. Oh, God is so gracious, church. He won't leave us hanging out there. Again, the very definition of God tells us that, why the darkness is there. Our spiritual darkness may come through death. Through death. Remember when Jesus died? What did the disciples do? May I demonstrate a little bit? Hey, their world went dark. 3 years. 3 years the Son of God taught them, lived with them, ate with them, shared with them that day was coming, but it was coming for a reason, for a purpose. He's dead. He's gone. What are we going to do now? What do we do now? I love who the first bishop, the first pastor, Peter, I like what he said because it magnifies this sentiment. I don't know about y'all, but I go fishing. Dad, he's going fishing. Brother Mitchell, he's going fishing. I go fishing. And that's where he was, as a matter of fact, when Jesus showed up on the shore. Oh, they all did. That's why I said, I like what Peter said. The rest of them, we don't really hear anything from them. They just hung their heads and walked away. And the only one that I actually see anywhere even close to Jesus during that time was John, the beloved. And he was seated, Brother Paolo, he was seated right there at the foot of the cross with the mother of Jesus. You know why he was there that day? Because Jesus had something to say to him in the flesh. Manifested in the flesh. He said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." We're supposing that Joseph is dead by then. And Jesus so loved his mother. He so cared for his mother. That's why I like being called a mama's boy. But he took care of his mother. John was there to hear that, so I believe we could hear it today and know what God expects of us to do. To care one for another. But they just gave up for a time. They were in a dark time. Or maybe denial separates us from walking with God. As Scripture says, fellowshipping with God. Denial. I think about Thomas. You know, they call him Doubting Thomas, but basically he was denying what the other apostles were telling him. He is alive. Yeah, we saw him. No. I'm not sure I even believe y'all. Because if he believed him, he'd have believed it. Or what about Peter? Peter, blatantly flat out denied Christ 3 times before the cock crew. And the part that really bothers me, but to show you and to emphasize the great loving forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the third time that Peter denied Jesus Christ, the Bible said he cursed. He cursed. I'm telling you, I like what my daddy said one time. He said, "I hear people say things that they had in their mouth I wouldn't even have in my hand." And yet Jesus forgave him. Out of the darkness, forgave him and called him as the first pastor of the church. I'm saying the love of God. I'll get to that again in a moment. But perhaps it's doubt. Perhaps it's doubt. And I thought about John the Baptist. Remember when John was in prison? He was about to be beheaded. But before that, he sent 2 disciples. Now, John was not only the forerunner of Christ, he was Jesus' cousin. And yet listen, let me show you something. Here's what he's saying. If Jesus is not the Messiah, I'm lost. If Jesus is not the Messiah, guess what? You're lost. As a matter of fact, how many, don't raise your hands, but how many have doubted their salvation at some point in time? Your expressions tell me I'm not alone. Or perhaps it's disappointment. You remember Elijah, that great prophet, stood on the firm rock of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the rock. Stood firmly on him and defeated the prophets of Baal. Tore down the no God Baal. Oh, listen, challenged them. And God sent fire from heaven and did what all 400 of the false prophets couldn't do. Now watch this. If I had been an instrument in God's moving like that, with such a great victory, I'd still be strutting. But he didn't strut very long. As a matter of fact, the next time we see him, Brother Mickey, you know where he's at? He's running and sitting there hiding. Running from one woman, Jezebel. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Elijah, what doest thou here? What doest thou here? I know that sometimes we're disappointed. But when I think about that, I have to consider, what doest me here? When I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, where the darkness is, where the need lies, where God has put upon my heart, what doest me here? Bless you. I need to be there. And that's the way it was with Isaiah. He should have been there. But church, we all face walking in darkness. But as these men I just mentioned, you will be in good company. You're not the only one. You're not the least of these. Listen, we all walk in darkness. Living in rebellion to God is His equivalent to living in spiritual darkness. And if you've ever rebelled against God, if you've ever chosen not to do what God has commanded or asked you to do, may I say that's rebellion? I got a lot of earthly whippings for that too. And I realized I wasn't walking in close fellowship with my dad. And neither are we with our heavenly dad, our heavenly father. One pastor wrote, anyone can look good in the light, but the true test of one's character is not so much how you look in the light, but how do you act in the dark when only God can see us clearly. Spiritual darkness refers to all that is in opposition to the light of God's love. Yet the good news is that He brings His light into the world, and He places it within every believer, so that every believer can reach the unbeliever that is not a child of the King. That we have that right and responsibility. His life-giving Spirit literally will flood light into that situation, into the presence of those folks that you're witnessing to, that you're bringing the gospel to. The Holy... We think, what can I do? Just like this morning, I had to ask Brother Mitchell to do something that he was gracious enough to do. There was a need. There was a man at a hospital that was turned away. And he needed to either come to the church and get warm, which we were going to do, until we found out that he could go to Medical City Hospital and maybe be treated. Brother Mitchell sent me a picture of some of his need for assistance, for help. And it would have turned your stomach. And we realize that there is going to be that darkness. But yet the glory of God will shine forth that others, that He can see that. Christ living in me. Notice the last thing. And this is what's so exciting to me, to every believer I trust. We saw the unbeliever. We've seen the believer. Are there any believers here this morning?
Amen.
I just want to make sure. If not, I know how to close this out. Matthew 17:5 says, why, and this is why I headed the third point here as the beloved. Matthew 17:5 says in the last part of it, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I counted up as I was preparing this message, and I realized, you know how many times that God said that of His Son? Now, Paul said that of young Timothy as well, but no, how many times God said it of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? 7 times. In biblical numerology, that is the number of completion and perfection, as when God created the earth, all through Scripture. That's what He's saying here. Listen, my Son, my beloved Son. Now, what is it that we need to see there about the beloved Son? I'm telling you what the whole thing is that we can see what now we must do in order to be walking in fellowship with Him. The unbeliever, got to first get saved. And then he's in the same boat with us. How we stay in walking in fellowship with God. Because if we're walking in fellowship with God, there is no darkness. There cannot be. Because the light of God is going to dispel any darkness, even Satan himself. Jesus referred to him as the evil one. He did. Oh, but we don't have to take and put up with him. Oh, no, no, no. He must flee from us, not us from him, Scripture says. And here's what Scripture says in Isaiah 50:10. Here's how we go about getting out of our darkness and how to get closer to the Lord. The Bible says, Isaiah said in chapter 50, verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him," talking about the born again, watch this, "let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Listen, if you look up and realize that the Lord of light is not nearby like you know he ought to be, you look around and see that, then what you know is that you need to get close again. And listen, there's 2 things that Isaiah says here that's going to defeat the darkness. The darkness. First of all, look what Isaiah said. Let him trust in the Lord. First of all, we got to put our trust back in him. You say, "Brother John, how do we do otherwise?" Well, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Why did he have to tell us that? Because that's normally what we do. What am I going to do now? I know I can fix this, but I'm just... I got to do something. Have you ever seen someone do something that couldn't be more than nothing? That's usually what we do, but we have to learn to trust in the Lord. Why? Because God's promises are greater than our problems. Write that down. It's a fact. But not only that, but look what he closes that with. Stay upon his God. We must remember to rely not on me, not on you, but rely upon God. Rely upon God. Listen, if for no other reason, I feel like the Lord will just have pity on me and do something. Do something. And he will. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In the midst of your dark dilemma, remember that and stay upon God. Trust in him. Why? Because he's the only one that can comfort me. His rod and his staff. His rod will take and direct my path. And his rod will defend me. His staff will defend me. I don't have to worry about defending myself when my Father's with me. My daddy can whoop your daddy is what I tell the world. Watch, here's what we're assured of. On these three things, when dark days come, here's what God gave me to remember. First of all, we need to remember the presence of the Lord. Now notice this. He said that we, listen, it's going to be dark because we can't see His light, right? Isn't that what He said? Well, only because we can't. He didn't say He wasn't there. Did He? No. His light's not shining on us, though. He is there. How do you know that, Brother John? Because Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. He's there. Didn't Jesus say He would never leave us nor forsake us? Titus 1:2 says He cannot lie. Our God, which cannot lie. He's here. But can you see His light or not? If fellowship is broken with Him, you're not going to see it. When my fellowship was broken with my dad, I could yell all day long. He's not going to hear me. But if I did that, I'd know He'd give me something else to think about. But notice also not only the presence of the Lord, but the provision of His light. It's coming back. John 8:12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Whew, I don't know about you, but that's good stuff. That's good for one of His children that finds himself walking in darkness from time to time. I will be over these next 2 days, not my darkness, but others. And I want to be able to share with them what they need to do to see the light again. See the brightness of the light. Thirdly, don't ever forget the promise of God's love. 1 John 4:16 says, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Where are we living today? Then we need to move. What do you mean, Brother John? Move closer to God. Move closer to God. I was speaking to my nephew yesterday evening that's lost. Brilliant man. Brilliant. Some of our church folks know who I'm talking about and are praying for him. Brother Cliff still prays for him. But I was talking with him yesterday, and he's still not where he can or desire to even know what it is that we believe in, why we believe. He's heard it, but he doesn't grasp it. And while I was talking to him, he said this. I asked him, I said, please tell your mom that she was married to my brother, but she, sweet lady. And I said, tell your mom, I said, hi, and that I miss her. I said, hey, just whenever you see her again. You know what he said? He said, oh, John, that's no problem. She now just lives right up the street from me. He said, I see her all the time. And I thought that's what we need to do. We need to move closer to our Father so that we see Him all the time, that our eyes don't have to get dim because we can see the brightness of His light. How great then is God's love for us? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We usually stop right there, though. But verse 17 says, For God hath not sent His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. How great is God's love? We quote John 3:16. But notice how quickly the Lord got to the light. It's all about the light of God, the light of the Holy Spirit of God in you and in me. I read the story years ago, and I've shared it with the church before, about the little girl who her mother had contracted cancer and died. And after the cemetery, and her and the dad went home, nighttime fell, and he went, took her to her room and kissed her goodnight, went to his room, shut the door so that he could cry. He didn't want his little girl to see him. He didn't want her to be any more sad or unhappy than she already was. And as he was crying, he heard a knock on the door. And the little girl said, "Daddy," said, "it sure is dark. Can I come into your room?" She said, "Daddy, this is the darkest night I've ever seen." The daddy replied, "Me too, sweetheart." And as she entered the room, she said, "Daddy, are you looking at me? Because I can't see you. Is your face toward me?" And he said, "I see you, darling. I see you. Just like our Heavenly Father sees us. Doesn't matter how dark it is, God sees you. God knows you." Let's stand with our heads bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning confessing that, dear God, there's no wonder that Satan hates us to talk about or to exemplify, Father, your light that you place within us. That light, your light, that we're to take to a dark and dying world. Oh God, I thank you that you didn't give up on me. I thank you that you don't give up. That it's those that, Father, reject you completely. Oh God, I thank you for your long-sufferingness, because just as you were with me, you are with whosoever will. That you love them just as much as you ever loved me. Father, I thank you for that. But Father, in the preparation of this lesson, I realize in this message, Father, that it applies to all of us, not just to the lost, but to the saved as well. As a matter of fact, Father, it depends on how we are walking in the light in order for a lost person to see that light and desire it. And at that point, Holy Spirit, you're so gracious to remove the blindness which causes the darkness in which they live to not see the Lord in His light. But I'm so thankful that you alone can do what no one else can, and that you are willing and ready to do that and have never, never not done so for whosoever would. So, Father, I pray this morning. I have no idea. There may be one or more lost in this service But oh God, I pray this morning that they see the light. That they, Father, that they come to the light, that they would come unto thee, oh Father, and confess you with their mouth and believe in their heart that you are the only begotten Son of God and that you did die in our stead, paying the price for our sins. But so thankful to believe that God the Father raised you up from death unto life on that third day as he said he would, and that we can serve and do serve the living risen Savior. Father, I pray that this will be the morning, the day that those will come and receive you. And then Father, for the rest of us, that we would choose to stay in the light of you in our walk. And Father, we'd not give up. That we would, Father, we would stay upon you, O God, and to trust you. Father, whatever the need is this morning, you're able. And we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen and amen.